Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Please follow along with your own Bible or with the Scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possession of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, I'm a self-declared monopoly phenom. And the reason why I can say that is because the majority of people that I play against, either one-on-one or in large groups, all usually end up losing to me. In fact, the only time I really lose in Monopoly is if multiple people team up on me. Maybe because they know that I'm a threat, or maybe because they're sick and tired of hearing me sing songs during the game like, they'll be coming round the corner, here they come, when they're about to land on my property and go bankrupt. And I love the game because you start with little and you build a whole empire all by yourself and all for yourself. Getting more properties, getting more money, getting more houses, getting more hotels. And in a span of anywhere between 2 to 4 hours, I build my kingdom for myself and eliminate my competition. And that makes me happy. Seeing people land on my property makes me happy. Seeing rent paid to me makes me happy. Seeing a house or a hotel placed on my property makes me happy. Seeing someone hand over all their money and their properties to me because they are bankrupt makes me happy. It has gone to the point where people don't want to play with me anymore, and those that do end up joining the Don't Let Edwin Win Club. I love Monopoly. And though it is just a game, one thing I realize is this. No matter how great the board looks with my hotels and houses everywhere, no matter how many properties and money I have spent time accumulating, no matter how happy I am, knowing that I have built all of it for me and that I won. At the end of the day, like Pastor John Ortberg says, when the game is over, it all goes back in the box. The houses, the hotels, the money, the pieces with nothing to show for my time and my pursuits. All that time building, all that time scheming, all that time accumulating, all that made me happy is gone. And isn't this what real life is actually like? We spend all our time and all our efforts building our own kingdom, and doing things in order to seek our own happiness when it comes to our life. In fact, everything that we will do for the rest of today will be to make ourselves happy. The food we will eat, the entertainment we will watch, the plans that we will make are all things done to make us happy. Our culture tells us that the meaning of life is found in more stuff, more pleasures, more entertainment, and more excitements. And so we seek such pursuits in order to be happy and fulfilled. And so we will spend the time, spend the money, and use up our emotional energy to get happiness at whatever the cost. According to the National Library of Medicine, researchers found that the more people pursued happiness as their main purpose in life, the more likely they ended up being unhappy, having more anxiety, being lonely, and even depressed. And I wonder why. Is it maybe because God is not a part of the picture? Do what you want. Do what you feel is good. Make your own rules are the slogans that our culture encourages us to live by, because what you want is what will make you happy. And so people keep buying the clothes, they invest in the tech, they do the surgeries, they go on vacations, they eat and drink whatever they want, they watch whatever they want, they sleep with whoever they want. They think gaining more money, more likes, more stuff will make them happy. Bigger house, bigger car, bigger office will satisfy and make them happy. Even songs and movies that we watch emphasize living for yourself as you seek pleasure and comfort. And people who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus are not exempt from the striving and the straining in order to get the same kind of gains as everyone else. So instead of following Jesus, which requires us to carry our cross and deny ourselves, it is easier for us to do what is easy and give in to all that we want. Instead of being conformed into the likeness and image of God, we conform God into our image. Instead of seeing the world as our temporary home, Christians can live and make choices like this earth is their only home. Christians can get caught up in living for this world with their lifestyle choices, how they spend their money, what their priorities are that they live for. And I want to be clear that there's nothing wrong with enjoyment or even having comforts. But if that is all we are seeking to satisfy us, to find meaning, if that is characteristic of our existence and God is nowhere to be found in our life and in our decisions, then that is a very dangerous place to be. You know, we are continuing with our sermon series called Living Life Backward, inspired by the book by David Gibson, because if you did know your end date on earth, if you knew that you only had a certain amount of years left or months left or even days left with your life, do you think that you would live differently? If you knew that you were going to die, and started to live life backward from that point, do you think that you would live differently because you are living in light of the end? Because it is only when you prepare to die that you end up really knowing how to live. And as we learned last week, there are really only two ways to live, a life with God and a life without God. And there is no in between, because even a life where there are only trickles of God and his influence over our lives is still a life without God. Last week we learned that Solomon, who was the third king of Israel, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes found in the Old Testament of the Bible. And he wrote this as a reflection of his life when God was not a part of the picture. And so this book is Solomon's perspective of what life is like with no God and with no eternity to look forward to. Solomon writes this as someone who has everything that a person could want in life, but yet keeps coming to the same conclusion, saying, what's the point of life if we just come and go like a vapor? What's the point if all our pursuits and pleasure that we give our time to just slips through our finger with little satisfaction? And would it be one thing if Solomon was just an average guy saying such things, because that would give him no credibility with such statements. But with Solomon's power, wealth, and influence, he would have been a modern-day billionaire and would have been among the ranks of people in our day, such as Bernard Arnault, the CEO and chairman of LVMH of France, who owns a diverse portfolio of over 75 luxury brands like Louis Vuitton, Hennessy, and Tiffany & Company. Elon Musk, CEO of SpaceX, Tesla, and Twitter. And Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, the world's largest e-commerce and cloud computing company. But yet, with having everything a person could want in the world, Solomon still wasn't happy. And last week we learned that he sought wisdom and knowledge for happiness apart from God, but that didn't satisfy. And so he tries to find happiness in other pleasures. Solomon says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad and of pleasure. What use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forests of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So not only was Solomon looking for meaning and happiness in different pleasures, but also in his accomplishments. He built, he planted, he organized, he made changes to his environment all for himself. He amassed great wealth and accolades. He was an influencer. He had people under his command and had all the women and entertainment that he wanted. But yet, when he got these things, he still felt empty and kept searching for the next thing to give him meaning. He was using such things for meaning instead of the God who gives meaning. See, we live in a society where we easily look at someone else's life and what they have or what they have accomplished, and we say to ourselves, if only I had that, I would be so happy. If only I had that job. If only I had that spouse. If only I had that money, house, and stuff. If only I had that opportunity or health. Then I would be happy. But here Solomon had all of these things. But yet it didn't satisfy and it wasn't enough. And what do you do when you are not happy and satisfied? Well, you just keep searching. He continues. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Solomon was living like a hedonist, where seeking pleasure and self-indulgence was the highest aim in his life. He even indulged in legitimate and noble pleasures, like working hard, having accomplishments, all things that people commend you for, yet these things weren't enough. Solomon continues, then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. When Solomon uses the word vanity, he's saying it's like a breath or vapor. Here one day and gone the next. meaningless. All that Solomon had done felt meaningless and was meaningless because all he did was live for himself with these earthly pleasures and accomplishments. He was seeking anything and everything and had forgotten God. Because everything is meaningless when you forget God and when he's not a part of the picture. Remember, Solomon is not an atheist. He knows of God, but he is writing about the time when he was not walking with God. And many of us have been there, haven't we? In fact, you may be there right now. Solomon continues, "For of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after wind." Solomon realized that wisdom, riches, pleasure, and personal achievements are all meaningless if God is not a part of the picture of your life. In fact, all those things will feel empty now and won't even matter after you die. Because whenever we make decisions or live without God, we are just building our life on perishable pursuits that will eventually feel empty. And yes, people can do noble things that impact and change lives here on earth, but without God, none of those things will impact eternity. And it is ironic that Solomon had everything that a person could want, but here he says that he hated life. Why? Because his great accomplishments left him sour because he pursued them as a means of personal satisfaction without God. And isn't that so true? There are many of us who have pursued all that we wanted while we left God absent from our plans, and we got what we wanted, but yet it felt empty. And for some, when they got what they wanted, it actually became a curse, causing more problems and even making them hate their life, a relationship, a job, a career, possessions, even a dream, all leaving them disillusioned because they wasted time and energy, and that was how Solomon felt. He says, "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or fool, yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity." Solomon realizes that all his hard work bears no lasting fruit because everything will be left behind at his death. And not only will it be left behind, but it will go to those who did nothing to earn it or may not even care for it properly. All our hard work that was meant to build our kingdom and glorify ourselves will eventually be passed to those after us who may lose what we built or even spoil it. And this thought left Solomon with grief, because at the end of the day, there would be nothing to show for all that he had worked for and accomplished. And this will always be the result when we live for ourselves, because in living for ourselves, we are actually living for the temporal. In all that he had, and in all that emptiness, Solomon realizes that God is necessary, as he is the only one who gives meaning to our life in light of all of eternity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? See, Solomon causes us to think, if he has everything that anyone could want, then his life should be the best in a meaningless world. If this world is all that there is, then he should be happy because he has everything a person could want. Yet Solomon realizes that you can have it all, but if God is not a part of it all, then you are infinitely poorer than the person who has nothing but has God. Because apart from God, there is no long-lasting enjoyment in the things that we have, because not only do we experience diminishing returns from those things, but then you die. For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. See, our culture says that there is no God. So eat, drink, and be merry. And by doing so, you will get your fill, because this is all there is. Where Solomon says, with God in mind, to eat, drink, and be merry. Because what we have, God has actually given us these things, and they are their own reward. See, true enjoyment in life comes only as we follow God's guidelines for living. That is why without God in the center of our life, we will always be searching for the next thing to satisfy us so that we can be happy. But with God in the center of our life, we will be satisfied because he's the only one that we look to for satisfaction and not anything else. We will find joy and have contentment with what we have because we already have joy and contentment from God. That means with little, we are content, and with plenty, we can still be content. So we learn to pursue such things for what they are in themselves rather than what we need them to be to make us happy. And so Solomon is helping us realize that the way that we approach life with God or without God determines the direction and quality of our life. It determines how we either enjoy life or end up in despair. It determines if what we experience in life has a purpose or if everything is meaningless. This is why Solomon continues by explaining the different seasons that will happen in our lives. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Here Solomon is showing us the extremes of life side by side as a way of understanding how such seasons in life can affect us and even those around us. All of life has a time for something, a beginning and an end, a gain and a loss, good and bad. And we experience all these things because of the curse of sin and death. However, all the experiences listed are appropriate at certain times, and this list shows us the need to take full advantage of the time that God gives us. So when a baby or a dream is born, we can enjoy it, celebrate it, because there will be a time for grieving when someone close to us dies, or when an opportunity ends. Embrace the time you get to laugh and learn from the times that you mourn. And even though we make real and responsible decisions every single day. Each season in life is completely out of our control. That is why a life without God results in trying to fight against the seasons when they come. It isn't accepting. It is trying to control or manipulate in order to get what we want. It is trying to gain comfort and erase pain and suffering at all cost. But a life with God sees that whatever is happening in our lives as one with purpose. That is a part of the Master's plan. It allows us to discover, to accept, and to appreciate what God is doing in our story and how it plays out in His bigger story. Solomon continues saying, "What gain has the worker from his toil?" Remember, Solomon is saying that without God, the seasons in life that come are seen as a threat to your plans and happiness. Whereas for those who have God in their life, when the seasons come, they have a purpose. There are lessons in the seasons that shape us. And so the seasons don't just come, but they now have a meaning and even a benefit, whether it's a good season or a difficult season. But when someone doesn't know God and a bad season comes, everything that they have worked for is now gone. So instead of looking for the purpose as to what God may be trying to do in that season, they become resentful and hopeless. Whereas for someone who does know God, yes, there are tough seasons that we don't understand, but in those seasons, God can help us through such seasons as we learn more about Him and as we grow to become more like Him. In fact, it is such seasons where we rely on God to build a foundation of faith in us that helps us through everything else that we will have to face in life. And Solomon realizes that there is a difference between not having God in a down season and having God in a down season, which is why Solomon says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart." When Solomon says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men, it means that no one can be completely satisfied with earthly pursuits and pleasures. Because we are all spiritual beings that are created in God's image, we will continually have a spiritual thirst, which is why only God, who is spirit and eternal, can truly satisfy us. And the reason why Solomon struggled with all of this is because he has built everything up and he realizes that without God, nothing will come from what he has built. There is no continuation because according to the perspective of one without God, this life is all there is. And Solomon is wrestling with this because he is an eternal being, but yet he is spending his life building for the temporal. And because God has created us to think about eternity, when we don't think about eternity with our lives, we end up becoming restless and unsatisfied because we have been aiming for the wrong target. When Solomon says that God has set eternity into a man's heart, he is also saying that our death on earth is really not the end. See, when every human dies here on earth, whether they believe in God or not, everyone will all face a judgment by God. And for the ones who live their earthly lives where God is absent, their earthly death results in total loss of everything that they have built on earth and separation from God for all of eternity. But for those where God is central to their life, when there is the judgment, there is actually hope. David Gibson says, "It gives my present actions meaning and weight. And it gives my experienced losses and injustice a voice in God's presence. What is past may be past, but what is past is not forgotten to God. And because he is in charge and lives forever, one day all will be well. Every single thing that happens will have its day in court. And knowing this brings both comfort and challenge. Anyone who is a parent or guardian of young kids knows that they see a bigger picture than the kids do. Kids are often working towards goals to help them grow up and mature that they cannot really understand at the time. And this includes what to eat, when to sleep, learning self-control and discipline, learning proper hygiene, and learning to fulfill their responsibilities. And parents or guardians are there to guide and direct the child accordingly, that helps shape them and makes them into who they are meant to be. And so parents will look out for the child, trying to tie down loose ends, getting the kids to where they need to be and doing things that the kids can't. And since grown-ups are like children, when it comes to our own lives, God is our parent, ordering our steps in the same way. Solomon says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. See, what we do comes and goes, but whatever God does endures forever. And he's able to make everything in our lives and in this world beautiful in its time. God's not bound by time the way that we are. That is why God sees it all, even though we don't. He sees the beginning to the end while he takes the billions and billions of lives and thousands of generations all throughout history, with both the joys and the pains and the sorrows that are experienced. And he takes all of it and he weaves it together into a perfect tapestry, a perfect beauty according to his will. And the comfort is that whatever has happened to us, whatever season we are in, God intends us to be like little children who can trust their parents to know best and who can see what we can't and even know what we don't know. And this trust is based on the character of the parents, because if the parents are good and wise, then the child who doesn't know the future has really nothing to fear because they know the parent will care for them. Without God in our lives, we will be frustrated trying to piece all the brokenness of our life together in order to make sense of it, but we won't be able to. However, if God is in our lives, then the mountaintops and the valleys of life, the brokenness and the joys, the tensions and the difficulties, along with unanswered questions, all get formed into a story that is part of God's bigger story. That means that our story and everything that comes with it has purpose. That is why Solomon said, "Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work." Solomon looked at the world apart from eternity, and he saw that there was evil and injustice everywhere. Instead of fair judgment, he found wickedness, and instead of righteousness, he found sin and evil. And that becomes a reality when life is viewed apart from God and eternity. Because if there is no God, and if this life is all that there is, then many of the wicked and evil people win, and many good and righteous people lose because there is no justice. But when people choose to include God in their lives, and they walk with him. Then they know that he will bring judgment to both the righteous and the wicked. And knowing this actually stops us from needing to be in control of everything that happens to us. See, the message of the book of Ecclesiastes is not that life is full of good and bad times, and so we just must endure it with no hope. Rather, the message is that yes, life is full of good and bad times that we have no control of, but that because we can choose to have God as central in our life, we can actually believe that whatever happens in whatever season of our lives, it is all going to be a part of a bigger tapestry that God controls as part of his biggest story. That is why we can live even when we don't have all the answers, because we know that God will care for us in whatever situations we are in. Because it is only when God is central in our lives that life makes sense. And when this happens, we are able to live moment by moment in the now and not have to worry about the future, because God is in control of my life both now and the future. That is why whatever season you find yourself in, if God is included, then there is a purpose and meaning. And when he is not, then all that results is frustration, hopelessness, and despair. You know, whenever I read what Solomon had to say, I think of my wife Kelsey and her story. Many of you may know that Kelsey has chronic Lyme disease and has been suffering with it since age 10. She's been struggling off and on with her health, and to this very day, some days are difficult to get through. There's headaches, there's exhaustion, nausea, vomiting, issues with the stomach, knee pain, brain fog, and treatment that she will have to endure likely for the rest of her life. And for those who don't know God, looking in at Kelsey's life, it all seems so hopeless and meaningless. Her life forever changed from such a young age. All that suffering, and for what? She still isn't even better. And yes, that may be true for anyone who is sick, that is just treatment after treatment, wondering if you ever get better. And if you do, well, then that's good. And if not, well, whew, you're out of luck. But Kelsey has reminded me that it is actually because of her very suffering from Lyme that brought her to come to know Jesus. It was through that very suffering that gave her compassion and empathy to walk with those who also suffer. And she is now able to advocate for people because she knows what it's like to not be advocated for. She's able to comfort those who need to be comforted because she herself has been comforted by God. In fact, now she is planting a church and using her life and her story to help point people to God's greatest story, even in the midst of this long season of health deterioration. Because without God, your life is meaningless and you just die. But if God is central in your life, then life has meaning and everything that happens has greater purpose for you and those around you. Because real satisfaction in our lives comes when we know that God exists and when we are in intimate relationship with him. Real satisfaction comes when we understand that we are eternal beings that need to live for eternal things. Real satisfaction comes when we see the seasons of our life as coming from God's good and wise hands. Real satisfaction comes when we know that God is in control and that he has a bigger story for our lives. Real satisfaction comes from knowing that our life has meaning and that it plays a role in God's bigger story. Real satisfaction believes that God will bring all things in our lives, both good and bad, and make them right, whether here on earth or in eternity. And that is good news. Let me pray for us. God, if we're going to seek anything for happiness, may we seek you. May we not live life and make decisions apart from you, because without you, all things that we do are in vain. Help us to know that you are the only person that can really give us meaning and who can truly satisfy us. And may we trust that you are working all things for the good of those that love you despite whatever season we are facing. And as we continue in prayer, maybe you are hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.